Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1115. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Just watching the football programming that is preventing Mr. Mays from being on tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying to pay attention. I just can't get anything to work. My TV's on the other side of the room that I can't really see from here.
Yes, I've got to admit, all of my desks have properly situated TVs near them. So yeah. Yep. I have a good view of that. I always have some type of background noise on while we watch. But hey, as of this recording, your boys are looking in decent shape here.
Yeah, that they are. So that's nice, at least.
Yep. So hey, we're gonna talk about NXT first here. Definitely not anything that Jeremy and I do on a very frequent basis. We tend to bitch about AEW first, and then throw NXT in at the end.
Yeah, but
This will be a breath of fresh air.
we can do it like that. Yes.
We get the Iron Survivor women in the ring to kick off NXT this week. Because, yes, Sol Ruka, I thought, did a pretty solid job. I feel like this is her first real extended mic time that she's had.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
So, I mean, it still wasn't a long, long promo because, hey, it's one of those five women are cutting promos. They're, five participants are cutting a promo in the same time frame.
Yeah.
So there's nothing too long, but I mean, there's really not a whole lot long in NXT in general, but this is about the max that they end up going unless they're really, really unless they trust them like a Ricky Saints type or so to maybe carry things a little bit longer.
All
But
right.
I don't think anyone in this ring or well, Jordynne Grace should be in that list, but she also probably doesn't need to continue talking that much.
No, she's a terrible promo. What are you talking about?
They haven't really done anything with her in the promo department in NXT
No,
other than the
there's nothing
vignettes
to do.
with Blake Monroe.
Yeah.
Juggernaut
Yeah,
Smash.
you're just you
Okay.
guys are just not going to get me to be a Jordynne Grace fan. I just too
Oh,
much
I'm not trying
bugs.
to.
Yeah, just too much bugs me about her. And then she had to go, that's before she added the 80s mom glasses. What is she doing with it? I get that people are being less self-conscious about wearing glasses in public and whatnot, even like celebrities and athletes. But those things are hideous. Come on now.
It is kind of wild. I don't quite get the look there. Because I mean, people have made the who is it from Scooby-Doo?
Velma.
Velma jokes. And it's
Yeah.
just like, yeah, I mean, I guess you're going for it, but those things look, I think that's the one thing is that
Is her eyesight
exaggerated,
that
well, no,
bad?
exaggerated looks have become more exaggerated, and
Oh,
I
yeah.
think that's part of why it looks bad to me too. Like I'm with you. Like I don't think it's a terribly good look. Like it's definitely something. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I say that about some of Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's wardrobe choices
Well, yeah.
too.
Well, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's yeah. I don't know particularly why. Like, it's not appealing to me either. But yeah, her Lola Vice didn't really have a whole lot to say or any a whole lot new to say either. I feel like that promo
No.
is kind
No,
of what it
she
is.
feels like she's stagnated some. I think she was progressing, particularly around the time of her own feud with JC Jane, but it does feel like she's just, again, a lot of these people, some of these people, the longer they stay in NXT, that there's just not as much to work with, so you're just you reach a certain point, and then you really can start to stagnate there.
Yeah, 'cause I feel like this is the second time she's stagnated, 'cause they had her come in off on the hot streak initially with the breakout star designation, and she went on a pretty decent run there, and she cooled off after that. It seemed like things picked up here after she started getting more time in AAA, and now it's cooling back off again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a wild situation that
Yeah, it feels like the hottest person going into the match is Sol Ruka, but the storyline is also setting up for Sol Ruka to be to not win this thing. Unless she's gonna win this thing and then be screwed over by her own best friend in the actual title match.
Yeah, that story is finishing in those two ways. I'm not sure which one it is, but it is one of those two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we did get at the end there. We did get JC Jane coming out and pretty much just mocking all of the competitors for various deficiencies.
Yep, ducks in a barrel.
Oh, man, I guess I always heard fish in a barrel, but ducks work too. We had a lot of short backstage stuff. Joe Hendry was talking up Thea Hale. Stax and Ariana Grace came in, and we end up with a match because of this confrontation backstage in the kitchenette.
Yes. Yes,
Kitchenette,
yes,
very
yes.
popular place to get into feuds again
It
these
is, it
days.
is. I mean, it's just Grand Central Station in there. Everyone's going getting
Everyone wants
themselves.
food.
Everyone's going for some snacks.
Yep, so that ended up happening. Well, yeah, I guess that was the next matchup because that other segment was a nothing segment. And yeah, not surprising since Thea Hale is in the deadline matchup here.
No,
Is
she's
she
not.
in?
No, she
Oh,
isn't.
she's
No.
not. Oh, well, then I guess it could have gone either way then, but she ended up picking up the win.
They don't really have Ariana Grace win matches. But again, they don't really have Thea Hale win too many over the last year or so either. But they're doing something with her and Joe Hendry now.
Oh, yeah. Now that Joe Hendry is firmly in NXT here. We're starting to see a little more traction with him and her being a hanger-on yet again.
Yeah.
I think this one will probably be a little more fruitful, considering that there's already a second gen of Chase U that
Oh,
we
we'll
can
get to
talk
that.
about.
Yeah.
Well,
Is that
actually,
net? Is that next?
that is the next thing. Where
What is
they decided to confront Out the Mud out in the parking lot, which was our traditional place to get mugged.
Okay. I don't necessarily watch NXT every week, and I usually catch the highlights involving people who are actually important to the show. If I do any, and none of these people qualify for that.
That is fair.
So we've been doing this new Chase U thing for a while now. And these two guys, Riley and the other one, or what are their names again?
Chase,
No, Chase.
Uriah Connors and Kale Dixon.
Okay. We've been doing this thing with them for about, what, 6 months now, and they're still just complete goofs. And this hasn't progressed or turned any kind of a corner yet. That the new Chase U is in any way successful.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a direction for it, and then they didn't. And it's continued to be directionless because I was even surprised. I felt like I hadn't seen the old Andre Chase because they were trying to get him to turn a new leaf and not just talk down to people. And in this segment, he was more of the talking down type, which was a little.
Well, these guys deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, they do deserve it. But
I'm not
also
sure what you're I'm
was.
not sure what not sure what you do with Andre Chase at this point. I know he's been around longer than you'd think, so he's not necessarily young anymore, and he's been stuck here in NXT for like 5 years. But everything he had has been taken from him, so it's like, what do you do with this guy? How does this ever get to the main roster?
Yeah, that's the other wild thing. Like Chase U, that's one of the ones I'm like, nah, dog, you are not taking that up to the main roster. Like,
Well,
not
the
at this
original
point.
Chase U, possibly they could have done something with, but
Well,
not this.
yeah, they needed to pull the trigger way early in
Yeah,
version
that the fan,
1.0.
there's a number of these factions and things that in the next year or the years that they could have pulled the trigger on, instead decided to split them up, send them in different ways, but then ruin these people's careers in the long run.
That part is also true. Things have not gone terribly well sometimes for those involved. And yeah, I guess there's not a whole lot there for me for either of those guys, even if they were treated better, to be honest
No,
with you.
no, no. There's they weren't the right guys for this, so you really wanted to take this seriously.
We had the big the guys segment backstage with Ava there, Miles Bourne, Joe Hendry, Javon Evans, and Leon Slater all being in there so that we could then get a 8-man tag team match for the main event, if I'm not mistaken.
The main event. I
So.
just this one's just four baby faces, and then the only heel is one of the dark state guys who are still so blah to me. It's just like, this one's not super exciting to me. But somehow, but I guess it's going to close the show on Saturday.
Interesting.
Unless the women's one does, because they made it, well, we haven't gotten there yet, but they made it clear that the title match is opening.
Oh, yes, they did make that part clear for the first time in NXT history. Okay, yep. Josh Briggs, Tavion Heights, up next on the old checklist here.
More people just spinning their wheels on NXT. It's just there's nothing. There's neither of these guys has anything really going on. There's no doesn't feel like there's anything more for them.
Yeah, they are both in very weird spots. Even though Josh Briggs got the win, I'm like, what are they gonna do with him? He's not gonna. I don't. Even if he is the next challenger to, I'm assuming, Ricky Saints, I don't think he's the one that dethrones Ricky Saints. Like
No, he's not. It's yeah. It's
it's.
just again. I've gone over my issues with him before. He
Yeah,
he's
that's
a big
true.
guy, but there's so many guys got people bigger. He's a. It feels like there's multiple people who do what he does better than he does, and there's just and he's just not. He's just not overcoming that.
Yeah, he does seem to have stalled out a little bit himself. So the only upside is honestly that he turned himself into heel. I feel like that's helped get him TV time, but that's about all that that's led to. The Calling and now officially led by Izzy Dame. I think we can confirm that now.
I guess we can confirm that. I mean,
Yeah,
the Spears and the other guy aren't going really going anywhere, aren't doing anything. Yeah, no. I mean,
yeah.
no. I mean, this was in some ways Izzy Dame's coming out party. I mean, this was they're going with her.
Oh.
I guess she was fine. I've never really been super impressed with her thus far. So I mean, but she's getting her shot here. This is it. Sink or
Yeah, that was
swim.
the one thing that I'm like, man, this is just an interesting matchup in that you kind of, I mean, you not kind of, you gave Tatum Paxley the championship. And had her lose it in rather quick fashion. Does she end up getting a bounce back win? And then what do you do with Izzy Dame, who is the leader of a faction that's really dead in the
I
water at that point?
think Izzy Dame hits the win here. And they do what they kind of do with these things. Heel gets the win in the first match, and then they build to a gimmick match, and the face wins.
No. That's fair.
But yeah, Izzy Dame's getting her shot here.
Yeah.
Let's see what she can do. I mean,
Yep.
it's a singles match, no gimmicks, no title on the line. Let's
Only in
see.
NXT.
Only NXT, yeah.
Women's feud with nothing on the line. Sol Ruka, Zarya still have not made up. There is that. And then we had a six woman match. Lot of with all of the deadline goings on, a lot of multiple person matches here. This one involving Lola Vice, Kendall Gray, and Sol Ruka, with Ren Sinclair at the ringside. Taking on Fatal Influence with JC Jane, Fallon Henley, and Lainey Reed. Oof. A lot of names there.
There's definitely a lot of names.
Yeah. I was, again, not completely surprised. Sol Ruka hits the Soul Snatcher on JC Jane. We have a natural contender here without deadline even happening.
Yeah, we really do. So I guess that leads more towards the evidence of Sol Ruka getting the win. Seeing
Oh,
that
yes.
getting the win and getting her match with JC Jane, who of course has just already just gotten the belt back. So don't know if I see her losing it. Here's the thing. People costing their turning on their friends and partners and costing them championships, wouldn't the better idea be to let them win, if not help them win? And then turn on them.
Yeah, I feel like Jeremy and I have made that argument on multiple occasions, especially because what was it? Oh, but with Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dame, why not have her re retain the championship, then attack her? Then you're the one with the championship match. Like you're not benefiting from JC Jane being champion again.
No.
So yeah, I don't know. Izzy Dame, I feel like misplaced priorities. Could have been two birds, one stone kind of situation.
I definitely agree.
So yeah, bad one for her. Oh. And after the match, we did see Zarya seemingly go after Sol Ruka, and instead spears Kendall Gray. And Zarya and Sol really seemed on the outs after this
Very much.
segment here.
This is an interest. This is kind of an interesting way to go about it, and that they are absolutely nose to nose. They're pushing and shoving. Yeah, it's definitely not an out of nowhere turn or anything that they were setting up here. This is just these women are obviously at odds right now.
Yeah, they have set this up for a while now. I feel like they've really used this is the one where obviously Sol Ruka wasn't out that long, but they're like, yeah, let's really put this in motion and we have the time since it's only going to be like, I mean, she's back in the ring already, so it's only like a month or so that she was out. And then we can keep on going with this feud. Like, so they did the setup while she was injured, and yeah, now they can really run with it now that she's back in the ring.
And
So.
I imagine we'll get Zarya versus Kendall Gray out of it at some point as well.
One would imagine that that would most likely be a regular TV version. I would
Yeah.
hope that Sol and Zarya is at least saved for one of those Gold Rush type events that's kind of a special on TV
Yeah.
for NXT. If not a PLE itself, obviously not this one. No surprise. Oh yeah, Dark State just yapping again. You don't like him. I don't really like him that much. I did like, I suppose, it's something I talked about with another group. If they want to have someone is a single champion, he really shouldn't be involved in the tag team stuff.
Yeah.
Whether I don't think Dion Lennox is going to be the guy that ends up coming out of Deadline as the winner, but him giving the belt over to Saquon Sugars works for me in the kind of archetypal group sense.
Yeah.
You
I
need a
agree.
little bit of hierarchy in a
Yeah.
group. So,
Yeah, you do. You do.
yep. So that I guess that was the one solid thing out of that segment. Out the Mud puts a beating on Chase U in their matchup. No surprise here. So.
That oh, out the mud, that's what OTM stands for.
Yeah.
I have never heard that. Wow, I really don't watch these segments at all.
Well, and it really didn't help that I'm assuming one and or both of them was injured, so they have not been on TV that much
Yeah,
recently.
no, yeah, I don't think they've, yeah. That's another probably thing too with it. Yeah. Guess that good
Yeah.
again. It feels like more guys who are spinning their wheels on NXT. Nothing really, not much in the way of progress there. But if there was an injury, it's that's understandable.
Yeah, if they have them win the championships at some point here and actually push them towards that goal this time around, I'm okay with it. They will have ceased spinning wheels. But until they show me a real a win over Chase U, to me is not a super commitment to championship a real championship chase. And plus, it'd be kind of weird at the current moment with Dark State being the tag team championships with the heel on heel violence. Happens less in NXT than I feel like in the main roster area. So Ethan Page was leaving the performance center and ended up getting stopped by Ava on the way out. He is now going to defend his championship against the very popular and very over Mr. Iguana, sir.
Yeah. Really just adding filler to the show. I mean, if we're being honest, just as
Yes.
last minute, the goofy segment with Mr. Iguana stealing his car and making Ava try to act and make jokes. She's not good at pretty much anything.
I'm okay with her down to business act.
Yeah. Better at
Because
that,
I
yes.
heard your review before watching the actual product. I was trying to guess when certain moments happened, and the acting part was one. I'm like, oh yeah, it was definitely this segment. Was all I thought in my head as I was watching it. So, yeah, I like I said, I'm okay with most of the authority stuff. This was definitely a stretch for her skills. Man, these Shiloh Hill segments, I don't know what they
I'm not
think
sure what
they're
the
accomplishing with these.
I don't get I don't yeah I don't get them I don't I'm not I don't get it yet.
Yeah, like I'm like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, I'm weird, or I'd consider myself weird too, but you haven't really drawn me in here. Like you're not that weird, really.
Yeah.
Just because you ate raccoon doesn't make me really think that you're a crazy person. I mean, I've never had raccoon, I don't think. But I mean, I've eaten some weird stuff, so whatever. Rattlesnake, anyone? Anyone else rattlesnake?
No, I have.
Does kind of taste like chicken. Main event time. Joe Hendry, Javon Evans, Leon Slater, Miles Bourne taking on Dark State. The big thing, honestly, with this, I would say, is the fact that Miles Bourne, in a somewhat heelish move here, tags himself in so that he can be the one who gets to choose his seeding in the deadline match.
I think that's
Is
yes, I
it?
think that's the gimmick, yes.
Yeah, I believe that's what the gimmick was. So yeah.
Which in this match you should want to be first.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think. If you do one, because yeah, that's always an interesting thing. I feel like AEW does that setup more, where you want to be the first entrant because a match can finish at any time.
Yeah.
And I do believe Oh yeah, 'cause you can score more pinfalls if you're in the match earlier.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's what I was going for, yes.
To me, it might make a little bit of sense to maybe come in mid, keep yourself fresh, but get yourself in there a little bit early, so that you can score some pinfalls.
Now,
So that
keep in
might
mind,
be.
it's only a five person match.
Oh,
So
right.
then you're not really it really doesn't take that long to run through the actual entrance. I mean, I guess what
Oh,
is
yeah.
five is it 3 minutes or 5 minute periods? I
Yeah,
forget.
that's it. I'm like, oh shit, I need to pull this up, like, 'cause I don't remember remember the rules. Of these matches here, and hopefully on the wiki they'll have okay, they have a breakdown of the Iron Survivor match. Two wrestlers start the match, which begins with the timer, and every 5 minutes another wrestler enters.
Okay, so if you come in, if you choose fifth, you're coming in at the 15 minute mark, and there's only 10 minutes left.
So I would definitely go with a mid strategy to me. Like,
Okay, three.
don't start out, but be the first one in the match.
Okay.
That would be that'd be mine. Three, or maybe if you want to push it, go four. I feel like only giving yourself 10 minutes to get points is doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
So, even if it keeps you fresh, even if it keeps you fresh. But it is kind of a big deal. I guess that's why I brought it up. It's something of a big deal that Miles Bourne did that, since A, it was heelish, and B, hey, you should want that choice of when you get into that match, It's not one that you automatically want to be at the end. For sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
On to AEW then, sir. AEW Dynamite. I took all of Thanksgiving off from AEW product. I did not realize that until I started watching this week's Dynamite. So boy, I was in for a couple of surprises here. To me, first surprise, oh no, that happened in the next segment. Samoa Joe comes out and has his verbal showdown with Eddie King. Well, I guess this was a surprise. In some ways, it shouldn't have been just because Eddie Kingston was tag team partners recently with One Hook, so this has garnered him a championship shot that is 100% going to be won by Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Samoa Joe, of course, is yeah. He's winning this thing for sure. Yeah, it's this really is. I don't not necessarily Eddie Kingston's return to Dynamite because I think he did like a he's at least done a trios match since he's been back. But this is
Yeah,
the this is his. Go
he's
ahead.
done more Collision than Dynamite.
Definitely more Collision. This is the first Eddie Kingston promo on Dynamite. Real Eddie Kingston promo, since his injury, in basically a year. Yeah,
It's been a long time.
I mean, Eddie's
Even though
Eddie. I mean,
Kingston's
he
been back for what, maybe 2 months now?
2 or 3 months. Yeah, but Eddie's Eddie. He brings. His credibility, he brings his he's got a different way of talking than a lot of other guys. And his style certainly works for him. I mean, I think other people are bigger fans of him than I am, but I see what people see in him. I don't dislike him. But
Yeah, as much as his look makes him real, it also makes him a tough sell in what is still a body format.
yes, and you, yes. Meanwhile, his opponent is Samoa Joe. But
He's a
Samoa
bit.
Joe is also Samoa Joe. I mean, no one who's never watched wrestling before is watching this show. Everyone watching this show is very well aware of Samoa Joe's reputation and his career. So,
Yeah, Samoa Joe
and
is a pretty big boy.
he's a big boy, you know. I have mentioned, I feel like some of his aura has diminished over time. Granted, I guess it's been off and on. It's up and he's had his ups and downs over the years. But yeah, it again, we mentioned it. It just didn't feel like the right time for him to become champion or for Hangman to lose it.
Oh, yes, you're
I
still
still
in
don't feel I don't still I still I'm still in
that
that camp. Yeah, I
camp.
mean, it just doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't feel like Joe as champion is really leading anywhere in particular.
Yep.
So, but this will be a match for television next week. It should be good. So, yeah, it's got that going for it at least.
Second shocking moment of the night. Excalibur, evidently, after all of these years of the Continental Classic being on TV and him announcing all of the matches, evidently has no fucking clue what the rules actually are to this thing.
No, he did not have a good night at all. He said that
Oh my gosh.
someone he said that what was it? He said that
Yeah,
Kyle
he was
Fletcher could
gonna
lose 3 points. He could lose his points. Yeah.
yeah, that someone's gonna take them away. I was just like, oh my gosh, dude, like you are just so all over the place with this. Like
Yeah. His other big
there
screw
were
up was. Yeah.
multiple times where I'm just like, you are completely misunderstanding the situation here, sir.
Yeah. I mean, his other big flub, I just remembered it, was when he was reading the graphic for the women's tag match, when he said Megan Bain or Marina Shafir.
Don't know if I caught that one. But I did know that in general, I'm with you. Like it just seemed like I don't think Excalibur is a bad announcer. Honestly, I
Not too
think
bad,
that
no. Not usually.
he gets stuck with too much bullshit, in my opinion. Like it's almost one of those things. I'm like, I'd love to see him not in AEW just to see how he'd be. Away from being on a four-man desk or a three-man desk,
Oh, the four-man
honestly.
desk was an issue here. The
Yeah.
Don Callis show this turned into. He was basically on screen, less commercial, or I should say, he was at least his voice was at least on screen, less commercials,
Yeah,
for
starting
an
from
entire
this
hour.
match. Yeah, we had the opening segment off. The next hour of Dynamite somehow involved Don Callis.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a lot.
It's
It was a whole lot of Don Callis.
a lot of Don Callis. Yes, I don't particularly care for it. So what we can kind of get through the actual matches we had.
Yeah, because Okada ends up, despite Excalibur's problems, we do understand that Okada got himself on the winning track here. Evidently, he lost to Kyle Fletcher last week in this block. I would assume. I didn't. I
Yes, he
guess I
did.
haven't looked at
He did.
all of
Yes,
Mark. So.
the very rare loss for Okada, yes.
Yep. So he needed a win. He got it against Pac, who had already had a win himself. So yeah, not too surprising. A little early jockeying here. There's always going to be some losses and sometimes some shocking losses, I feel like, that end up happening in this tournament.
Now, what I'm interested in that regard is Takeshita, the IWGP champion. Does he take any losses in the Continental Classic before January 4th?
That is an interesting question.
I imagine he has to. I don't know if I necessarily see him winning it. And that gets into the confusing part, the most confusing part about this whole thing, the status of the Unified Championship against all the other championships. Oh, this is bad.
Did that bookend the hour of Don Callis? Or no, that actually came later in the night, didn't it?
Yes, we had,
That came
because we didn't have
after the
enough Don
hour
Callis family.
straight of
Yeah,
Don Callis.
we couldn't have enough of the
Oh
Don
my
Callis family.
gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, because that was a near the end of the night segment with Renee when Don Callis is like, I'm not going to put up any championship that I don't need to. And then he says, not the Continental, not the International, and not the Unified. I'm like, hold on. We didn't actually combine these. We just made another belt that is the combination of the two belts only?
I think that's what it
That's
said, because the Continental Championship is, of
what
course,
that
on the line
segment
here.
said to me.
Yes, it's mind numbing, and Tony Khan overcomplicates things like this all the damn time, and too many people don't let him get away with it and don't criticize him enough for it.
Yeah, it is mind-numbing, and sometimes the reason that Jeremy and I always start shows off bitching about AEW, because there
Yeah,
is
I understand that.
some
Yes, of course.
mind-numbing stuff happening like that. Yeah, because that segment was a lot. That segment was a lot. We did at least get a short break from in the middle of the Don Callis hour, so that Mark Briscoe could cut a slightly more serious promo. And the man can cut any type of promo, quite frankly. So,
Yeah, for a match against Daniel Garcia. Ooh, boy.
yep, not going to be an exciting match in the least.
Yeah.
But
No,
hey,
it might be
Mark
fine, tactically
Briscoe.
fine, I'm sure, but yeah, I'm not interested in, certainly not interested in anything Daniel Garcia's got going on. So, and I'm not watching Collision this week. So. For sure.
I am not going to Collision this week.
Oh, are you going to find? You're not going to Final Battle either?
I am not going to Final Battle either. I looked at that card a couple of weeks ago. And I said, okay, yep, that's nice. And I guess if they're
Fine.
doing Galaxy Con, and I'm not surprised, this was one thing that hit me. They come back to Columbus same time every year, I'm assuming now, because this was the same con that they jumped into last year. And the Continental Classic was also going on. So, yeah, not always the best time to me. Holiday time is a little bit extra wacky. So yeah, not making it a priority. Doing holiday stuff
Sure.
is on the list here. Kyle Fletcher, Kevin Knight, another Continental Classic match. To me, an unsurprising news, Kyle Fletcher ends up defeating Kevin Knight. This would have been quite the upset after Fletcher beat Okada. Hey, Fletcher will probably catch an L at some point, I would imagine. I don't feel like anyone goes through these unscathed. But it would have been really weird not to follow up his big win against Okada with a second win to solidly put him out in the 6-point territory.
No,
And then we got more Don Callis in the ring complaining about the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks come out. Jurassic Express comes out. Kenny Omega comes out.
Yes, let's speed through all this.
Well, the one thing that I did want to say is that I completely forgot that El Clone was part of the Don Callis family. I know that they haven't been
That was
showing
that was
everyone,
right. Yeah,
but
that was the week Hologram went out, and then five other people joined the Don Callis family that just that week or something, and it was just it was just oh, it's just so bad. God, there's four there's like we've kind of been about before. There's just, it's
yes,
like 14
14.
people in this in this damn thing. Like what are we
And
doing?
they're only regularly showing like maybe five of them. And that's why I was like, oh, I don't think they introduced El Clone to the team. Maybe he was in the next segment, like the following week. And I don't think I've seen him since then.
Right, no, I'm pretty sure we have not. No, and then
So it's been like 2 months of him being MIA for this group.
we were in the middle of this, we also got to get Okada just completely becoming a thug for the Don Callis family. What are we doing here? I mean he I mean he's just he's just joining in on beatdowns like he's just another member. He's not being treated like the cornerstone or anything like that.
It is kind of wild, what is going, 'cause he's at least something of a big deal because, him and Takeshita are still beefing.
Yeah, that's going on forever. This is going on forever between them, yes.
but also yeah, it always feels weird. Like when a guy is still carrying a championship, but he's like, yeah, I'm defending my championship in this tournament. It still feels awkward. It
It
just
does. It
feels weird
is.
to me.
It is. It yeah. It's all very weird, and then. Of course, in the end, Kenny Omega is able to, come out and, clean house. And did you see that thing that that story that the other day that's where it's said that at this point they don't even want Kenny Omega working singles matches anymore?
I did not see that.
Yeah, that's the rumor going around. That's why this is just keeps dragging on and on and on, and Omega's only working tag matches.
That is the one thing we can say is that we have not really seen him in a meaningful singles match.
Not since All In.
So.
Yeah. This is close to the end for Kenny Omega. Ugh, to just keep dragging this Don Callis family shit out. What a horrible way for a guy like Omega to end his career on, if this is really that close to the end.
Yeah, not great, kids, not great. Everyone except for AEW is tired of Don Callis.
Yeah.
We finally yet again get a break. The Don Callis hour stops. We get Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa taking on Marina Shafir and Megan Bain in a holiday death match because, we don't have enough, we didn't have enough blood yet tonight.
No, of course not. No. There's just not been enough. There's just not enough hardcore matches in AEW. There's not enough blood. And yes, we And we have to combine that with a WWE style gimmick match with the ringside area decorated for a holiday. And yeah, it's just like, this
Barbed
is the type of
wire,
stuff.
candy canes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just so tired of, I'm both tired of AEW's gore fest and WWE's sanitized versions of hardcore matches. Like, I just can we just have like a couple of month moratorium on any of these kind of matches in both companies? Just no weapons or anything, no gimmick matches, or just for a couple of months, just to refresh this stuff up, because it's every weekend, but on both companies we get some type
No.
of hardcore match, it feels like, and sometimes multiple ones, and it's just diminishing returns here, and just
Yeah, this one I while I didn't think that it was a particularly bad match,
No, it wasn't bad. It was bad, no.
that aspect of things was pretty dull for me because of the frequency of them here, especially recently. You know, we had Blood and Guts and War Games and what did else did they follow it up with? I feel like there's another set of like no rules matches that AEW had.
Yeah, they do entirely too much, of course. I think there's
So.
you know, if you didn't watch, there's a couple at Full Gear. There was a False Count Anywhere match during the Blood and Guts show, and it's just, yeah, it's just too much. But in the end, and it's somewhat of a surprise to me, Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa are able to get the victory after Luther shows up dressed as Santa Claus to cause the distraction, and Marina Shafir did not watch for the shoe. She got beat by the shoe. And in the way, the reason I'm calling this a surprise and an upset is it's now a babyface versus babyface final next week.
Yeah, 'cause we had already known 'cause I must have skipped that 'cause I feel like Willow and
Yeah, they beat, yeah,
what's
they
her name?
beat.
Well, why am I blanking on the other woman's name?
Willow and Harley Cameron. Yes,
Harley
Willow and Harley
Cameron.
Cameron. Yes, they beat they beat Sky Blue and Julia Hart last week. Yes. So
So
yeah. So yeah, no, that is, yeah, yes. Yes, so Willow and Harley Cameron against Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa next week. And I don't entirely know who's going to win that. Can't really figure out who's going to win that one. I think it should go to Willow and Harley Cameron. It gives them something
yes.
to do, and it rewards the both of them for the work they've done. And Harley Cameron certainly, as a wrestler, still has ways to go. As a personality, obviously, she's already there, based pretty much,
Yeah, she doesn't
very
really
much.
need anything. Like, there might be some development along the line, but other than that, she or some a little bit of
So being
tweaking
in a
to her
permanent, so
character.
being a you know quote unquote permanent tag team with the titles, will be good for her development as a wrestler. It gives
Oh.
Willow something to do and rewards her for her work. Yeah, Toni Storm doesn't need it.
Hey, yeah, that was the one thing that I kind of thought more of when I did see the Harley Cameron and Willow segment earlier in the evening is that I'm like, you know what? Willow kind of deserves this. Like, she kind of had whiffed the singles championships. Because does she have the TNT champion or TBS championship at any point?
Yes,
Maybe a
she did.
while ago. But
Yeah,
yeah, like it
she
feels
had it,
like
yeah.
she has deserved more for her level of popularity. And
Yeah.
given her and Harley Cameron, who's also pretty popular, the tag team titles would be a lot of fun, I feel like. So, and deserving for both of them. They put in some solid work and not gotten a lot out of the singles division. Video package with Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter. Stat seemingly fully re-embracing the space gimmick. And And hey, Jamie Hayter still dresses as if she's also in Scooby-Doo.
Like she
Jordan
raided
Gray.
Becky Lynch's closet.
I mean she has more of the straight English style. They are definitely in the same family with how gaudy they are. But she definitely has an era to her. I feel like Becky Lynch is a little more modern in what she ends up pulling out.
You're right. But yeah, they're gonna take on the Triangle of Madness and Julia and Sky Blue next. And is that on Collision or is that next week? I don't remember.
I believe Collision.
Yeah,
And
okay, and
then
then.
it's Thecla and Statlander, I believe, next week. Or
Did
maybe
they?
it's the Hater and Statlander.
Tekla is a weird one because I did catch the results of Collision. Didn't they have her lose clean to Tamello? So she shouldn't even be anywhere near contention?
I don't know. I did not see the results of collisions. So,
But it ultimately it looks like we're gonna get Statlander and Jamie Hayter out of all this.
yes, it does. In the news to me, evidently the Dark Order is still employed by AEW.
That's news to me too. I had no idea that apparently they just been working ROH for the last year, basically.
The fact that it's only a year is kind of shocking to me.
Oh no, I mean it's been a long time since they've been on Dynamite. They did some Collision, but it might be early to 2024 since the last time they actually had a proper match on Dynamite. So yeah, it's been probably close to probably an hour, year and a half or more.
Yeah, they did get a short backstage segment before their match. That was also preceded by Mercedes Moné still really awkward how excited Renee Paquette is to announce Mercedes Moné coming in for a promo who then almost always shits on Renee. So it's a really strange dynamic to me.
It's very strange. Yeah, a lot of things are strange about Renee's dynamic in AEW, and yeah,
Yes.
it's just I feel like she should be doing more with her life than just being stuck at being the wrestling chick and being less than she was, 5+ years ago.
Excalibur can say the remarkable Renee Paquette as many times as he wants to. Even though she's doing the same thing, she's in a lesser spot than she was in the WWE.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and of
So.
course, the same issue that plagued her last couple of years in WWE plagues her here. It's just really awkward that that everyone knows she's married to the top heel.
Yes, and occasionally people send messages through her, but other times, or most of the time, they out just straight up ignore the situation.
Yeah.
It's always really strange there. I don't care about FTR or the Gun Club,
No, I do
so
not at all.
we can keep on moving. The ops end up taking on Dark Order. Was not surprised that this was mercifully short. Dark
Oh,
Order
yeah.
comes back and loses in short order.
Aha. Good one.
How you like that? Intended
I
pun.
did. I liked it.
So after the match, because was that that was the post match. Hangman Page is still super pissed It the ops in general comes out with a chain and whoops, basically the remainder of the ops. I guess he didn't really get the Hook who ran off, evidently.
Yes, because that's Hook's character. He, the guy who runs from fights, that's been very well established over the last 5 years.
Yep. Always great for a guy who fights for a living to not like fighting. Gonna serve
And
Hook well.
then later, Pangman cuts the promo saying that he wants Hobbs and Shibata next week, and we know who he's bringing. Even though it makes absolutely no sense for Swerve to help Hangman in this situation, because he had nothing to do. He was never feuding with Samoa Joe and the Ops.
No.
His issues would be with the Death Riders.
Yes, who put him out of action?
Yeah. Also, wasn't it the last
Technically.
thing he did? It wasn't, or wasn't the last thing, or was it the last thing he did fighting Okada or something?
I cannot
So then
remember, honestly.
that maybe it, but yeah, the Ops and Samoa Joe have nothing to do with anything. It was never established that Hangman and Swerve are just totally just friends now.
Yeah, they were more begrudging partners the last time we saw them,
Yeah.
rather than buddy buddy.
Yeah. So yeah. So again, this all doesn't make sense. Again, nothing about what they're doing with Joe and Hangman. Again, as I said, record. None of it makes sense. It doesn't. It's not. It was a bad decision. So.
Yeah. Main event time, Claudio Castagnoli taking on John Moxley. I've got to admit, after the result of this match, which I watched right before we hit record, not really shocked at the outcome.
No.
But still, I'm like, oh, you're like, I feel like Jon Moxley has to get his mojo back at some point.
I guess so. Yeah. It's a very weird storyline. I don't know exactly who. Because the Death Riders have absolutely in its current form. Or previous form, maybe I should say, has totally run its course. So we do need to get something new out of it. But man, I don't. Claudio just feel. No one to me feels older than Claudio right now. He has just been on television doing the same thing, looking the same for so damn long, like. I know he's still solid, but I'm never excited to see him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been mid his whole career.
Yeah, he's had
Like
some his best periods when he was teaming with a more charismatic guy who carried that part of the team, like when he was with Sheamus. That was probably to me that's probably the most I've ever enjoyed him. Really enjoyed him.
it's really weird. What the yeah, just having him win this match was yeah, it's just like, okay, well, what do we do with this guy who's just kind of been whatever this whole time?
Yeah.
What, they
There's
gave
no one
him
in
the
this. There's no one
ROH
that.
championship once?
Yeah, he had that. He's they get the he's always the CMLL champion, and it just yeah. I could see what they're trying to do with this Death Riders thing, and maybe putting Moxley back as a babyface eventually. But there's no one to take over the Death Riders and have it mean anything. None of the
Oh,
rest of these
yeah.
guys are remotely capable of this, of being a leader of a faction that people care about.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Pac was was he the leader of Death Triangle?
I guess, but again, it's we're talking about Pac and AEW when he just disappears for 2 or 3 months and then just returns.
Yeah, that man has not had a terribly consistent career for what has been a various and sundry amount of reasons. So, yeah, hard to get behind a guy that can just randomly not show up for months at a time.
Yeah. And I don't like the singlet. It makes him look too jobberific to me.
Oh.
I always try I mean, unlike Claudio, I give him at least some credit for trying to change up something about himself after all this time.
Well, and he's always been a big guy. I'm like, dude, what are you doing these days? Because he's like
He's
Randy Orton, where it's
overcompensating for the for because he can't do the all the cause he I don't because
the
it's I
flying stuff
he
as
can't do all the
much.
flying stuff anymore. Yes, he's definitely there's definitely some overcompensating there for sure.
Okay. That is fair. Didn't think about that aspect, but would not be surprising if that is the case. 'Cause yeah, his upper body has bulked up some here in this most recent run. So yeah, that's it, I believe. I don't think there was any news between Tuesday and tonight
No,
that is
news, no,
worth
no.
talking about. So, anything else that we may have forgotten on either show that you feel like we need to hit before I talk about some adult beverages here?
No, I think we're pretty good.
Should one find themselves in Richmond, Virginia, with the highest amount of well, and I think they also have another location somewhere else in Virginia. So their main base is Richmond. Strange Ways Brewing, one of my favorites. My brother used to live in that part of the world. This one was Waving at Strangers, New England IPA, 5.5% alcohol. It was a nice light beer to enjoy while we did this show here. They have a number of delicious beverages. Their ice box are first rate. All kinds of good stuff down there. So should you find yourself in that neck of the woods with the highest amount of suggestion, go hit Strange Ways Brewing. They make some very good stuff. So at DeFrango 11 for that suggestion. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.